Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is September 6th, 2017. And, well, in Florida, we're waiting for things like hurricanes to run their course. But life must go on, and it's that special time of the month. It's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for August 2017. Mickey, good morning. We're doing this early today.
We are, Kerry, but we're 6 days late, so I've been traveling.
Hey, you've been traveling, and I've had stuff going on, and this is the earliest we could do it, plus the holiday. Don't forget that. All of the lovely Labor Day weekend, but markets wait for no man, and we've got like a lot of interesting things to discuss here. Hey, first, the stock markets, not a bad performance all in all.
Record highs throughout the month amid low liquidity and low volatility, typical for the summer doldrums. But world markets really just keep marching on, led by New York. The Dow up 0.3%, 21,948. S&P 500 closed at 24.72, up 0.1%. And NASDAQ closed at a record high at the end of the month at 64.29 for a 1.3% gain. The small caps continue to lag, Kerry. Russell 2000 lost 1.4%. It's not returned very well this year so far. Concerning to me, especially with Trump's rollback of all the Obama regs, and it doesn't seem to be filtering down to the small caps, which is where you would imagine that it would have its most impact.
Well, perhaps it's waiting for tax reform, which would definitely have a disproportionate benefit to the smaller cap stocks because, as you know, Mickey, the smaller cap stocks pay a higher effective tax rate than the large cap multinationals, which can play hopscotch with their revenues, put them through Ireland, put them through other countries with low or no taxes, and then defer the taxes indefinitely. So maybe when tax reform hits, assuming it does, yeah, which can't make that assumption, but my gut feel is it's going to happen.
I certainly hope so, especially for us speculators who have this problem with short-term capital gains.
Absolutely.
So let's go on to the Canadian markets and our other markets news. Canadian big board down once again, finished at 15,210 for a minus 0.4% change. This Toronto Stock Exchange, with its negative returns for the year, something now on the order of minus 4 or 3% for the year. It's one of four of the 30 largest equity markets in the world to show losses this year. Quite an esteemed group it's with, Russia, China, and Israel. There's lots of things going against the Canadian markets these days. Oil, the NAFTA debacle, the loonies up, and the Bank of Canada is about ready to increase interest rates once again.
Yet again, and the loonie broke 80 cents. It's trading multi-year highs coming off its low, which was way low. But at least the venture went up a little bit.
Well, it's been really flat. It's been in the blahs. There's no interest. Extremely low volumes for the month, probably averaged about what it was at the bottom market in January of 2016. Nevertheless, it finished up 8 points to 778. We expect better things to happen in September as everybody comes back to work. Meanwhile, the emerging market index has been very strong, led by China, but also the other emerging market countries. We used to call those third world countries. I think they still are. That market is, I'm doing the math here. It looks like we're up something on the order of, something like 23-24% this year on that index. Closed at 10.88, up almost 2% for the month. Meanwhile, the VIX still at historic lows. It actually went below 10 a couple of days a month, and it actually went above 15 a couple of days a month when Trump was rattling his saber about North Korea. Despite Trump's topsy-turvy travails and turmoil and tweets doesn't seem to affect the volatility of the major U.S. Stock market index.
Yeah, it's up, up, and away. Well, not so for the dollar this month, right?
Yeah, the dollar's been down seven last 8 months, closed at 92.67 for a 0.2% loss. But this is a low since the end of 2014, the first month of 2015, as the oil price was crashing. Euro, meantime, is at a high since that period of time. It closed at $1.19, up 0.6%. For some unknown reason, Kerry, and I don't quite understand it, the world seems to think the euro is now a safe haven. I probably beg to differ. And the 10-year bonds continue to fall with increasing doubt that we will have a rate increase here in the next couple of months.
Yeah, well, understandably so, especially after these hurricanes, Hurricane Harvey. They got to print up a lot of money, and I think it gives the Fed an excuse not to raise rates and maybe to retrace a little bit.
I think so. And then we have Bitcoin, and Bitcoin continues to go exponential. Closed the month at $4,765 for a 66% gain. Kerry, all I can say about this, I was thinking the other day, it reminds me, I don't know if you were a DC Comics fan back in the day when you were in your youth or your teenage years, but you remember the Bizarro World and Bizarro Superman, et cetera. Sure. Well, I think Bitcoin belongs in the Bizarro World of DC Comics.
Yeah, well, it's funny because when we look back at Bitcoin, Mickey, at one point it hit 1125 end of month, and it had gone up from 198. That was back in 2013. In October, it went up from November, it went up from 198 to 1125. That was a 467.5% gain. And now it's just, it looks like there's nothing that can stop it. The Chinese, you know, they've outlawed these initial coin offerings because they found that 95% of them were fraudulent. What a shock, which is why I coined the term, no pun intended, kleptocurrencies. Because,
there you go.
You know, that's... they just,
no pun intended. I would say that is pun intended.
Yeah, well...
I think that's a good one, Kerry.
Yeah, I've got the URL, kleptocurrencies.com.
There you go.
And look, I mean, they're just a way to look. My favorite one I'm going to create, it's called the Tulip Coin, and it's going to be backed by Dutch tulip bulbs.
By Netherland tulips.
Exactly. Dutch tulips. At least something will be backing it up here.
I guess I'm going to have to start my own, and it's going to be called the South Seas bubble coin.
Bubble coin. Yeah, we could do that, or the Louisiana land purchase. I mean, you take your pick.
How about Teapot Dome?
Yeah, hey, even better.
Hey, I went on a road trip. I was at Teapot Dome a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really? Well, well, we'll have to talk about that. We'll do an interview on that because I'm fascinated by it, the scandal, everything else about it in the Warren Harding administration. And the only thing was that he died before they ever got to the bottom of it, but it appeared...
died before they could impeach him and put him in prison, right?
So. It appeared that he wasn't directly responsible, but, you know, he was certainly grossly negligent as president. His buddies were just raping the country. Gee, does that sound familiar? Well, let's go to...
exactly.
Let's go to the real good news story for this
I have
month.
A uranium mine in Wyoming I can sell you.
and there are people who will buy it.
They're Russian.
They might pay for it with Bitcoin, but they will
with
buy
rubles.
It. Yeah. So then we go to the metals, the real bright spot of the month, huh?
They were. Gold hit 11-month high, closed at 1321. Some of this was on the back of North Korean tensions, but you know, interest rates unlikely to rise, safe haven, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of reasons for gold to go up. Been in a very nice sawtooth pattern over the last 30 days or so. Silver hit a 4-month high at 1754, up 4.5% for the month. Platinum, 6-month high, closed at 998 for a 6% plus gain. And once again, the one that is just amazing to me. Palladium. It was up $45 on Friday, wow. Kerry. Now it is 16-year high at 928 for a 6% gain. As I'm looking at it right now, it's at 936 today.
Yeah, remarkable. It's if it keeps up to this rate, it'll be at parity with platinum, and then we're going to see fireworks start, or even if it gets pretty close to it.
Well, actually, the ratio went down this month because platinum caught up a bit.
Right. Right. Well, they're less than 10% apart. So, you know, that's something to definitely worth watching. And then Dr. Copper, man, just bolts ahead. In the past 3 months, copper has been amazing.
Well, it really is the big story. It started this move on July 7th. We kept waiting for it to blow past very strong resistance at 275, yeah. Blew right past that. Next resistance was at $3, blew right past that, closed the month at 307 for a 7% gain. Hit 314 yesterday. It's now at 311. It's really the hedge funds. Hedge funds have gone all in with $20 billion. Into the derivatives market. Record net longs right now to the tune of $22 billion. Inventories are down. Supply disruption at Grasberg. They now nationalized more than 50% of Freeport's properties or interests there. Strikes, violence, floods, et cetera, et cetera, at Grasberg.
Right. And
are threatening to ban scrap imports. Wow. And so you add all that together, copper looks very bullish going forward.
Yeah, hey, and we'd be remiss going back to gold to mention that it finally broke the $1,300 per ounce mark. And yep. And that was a pretty substantial resistance point for gold. So you take all those metals in the aggregate, and you mentioned at the last monthly review, Mickey, that, hey, it was going against normal seasonality patterns, and it looked pretty strong. Here we are, all of the metals up meaningfully this month, and not quite like Bitcoin, but probably at a more sustainable rate than Bitcoin is, for sure.
Well, I think there's fundamentals behind all this. Now, some of it is speculation with the hedge funds, but zinc was up. It hit $1.44 a couple of days ago. It closed the month somewhere around $1.42. Iron ore is up over $80 right now. So aluminum is pushing $1. Lead's at $1.06. So it's really is a commodities wide, or at least for the metals wide rally, and we've been expecting it. We went through a 5-year bear market, so it's in normal cycle. It's bull market time.
Yeah, I think you are correct on that. And then we move on to our energy sector. A lot of red there this month, Mickey.
Well, we had a really rough end of the month for the energy sector. It was pretty bullish for most of the month, but Hurricane Harvey has really roiled the domestic oil markets. The reasons why oils were up in the first, say, two-thirds of the month, rig counts are flat. Inventories, both gasoline and oil, were down in the U.S., OPEC production is down, and they were compliant after a bad July. So, but the hurricanes really weighed heavily on especially WTI. Closed the month at $45.94, down 8%. Brent, here's the difference. Brent closed at $50.86. Now, it was down, but it was only down 3.5%. Meanwhile, Henry Hub was up a bit at the end of the summer cooling season to $2.94 for a 10-cent gain. And uranium space, market didn't move one way or the other. Spot price closed at 2063. But there was significant news in the uranium patch. Westinghouse, with the bankruptcy of Westinghouse, two South Carolina reactors, which are halfway built right now, Santee Cooper and Duke Energy want to cancel both those contracts. So the health of the nuclear, domestic nuclear energy sector, despite the Trump administration being all in on nuclear power is still a bit iffy.
Yeah. Yep. Bit iffy. And then I read that Duke Energy wanted to basically charge the ratepayers for all the money it's lost on these two reactors.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to charge $321 million, I think, in extra fees or raise rates or whatever.
Do you know the reason why they're canceling them?
Well, cost overruns, and I think it really is just an excuse with the Westinghouse bankruptcy, and I presume these are Westinghouse reactors. It's a way that Duke Energy can try to get out of an expensive build out. You know, I mean, really, when gas is sitting below $3, they'd rather convert coal fired power plants to gas, despite the fact that gas is methane and methane is the real greenhouse gas.
It's very evil, I know. And then looking at the ratios, there's not a lot to talk about with the metals. The spread between Brent crude and WTI widened, and the ratio as far as Henry Hub went down a bit. You know, not a lot, though. Not a lot to talk
about.
Well,
yeah, I think the real takeaway here is the Brent to WTI ratio. That arbitrage now up to 11%, 1.11. We haven't seen that since
2013.
Back when we were in the middle of the price crash for oil.
Yeah.
In early 2015. So
yeah,
that's big arbitrage right there.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be temporary. From what I can tell, refiners are hoping to be back on stream this week. Gasoline prices have soared, especially in the Gulf Coast. And you were telling me, even in Florida with a hurricane supposedly coming, people are lined up for gas. But here in the Western U.S., we've seen some small rises in gas prices, nothing to write home about.
Yeah, a lot of that's because of the boutiqueification of gas, that every state has its own special sauce that they require refiners to do. So it's not really a national market for gasoline. You've got...
Exactly, Kerry. Yeah. For instance, in New Mexico, all our gas comes from a refinery down in Artesia in the Permian Basin. Doesn't matter what brand of gas you're buying, all comes from Artesia.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the big thing. The brands in gas stations mean nothing because all the stations buy from each other. I could tell you a whole story about that from when my father used to deliver gas, and he'd take vegetable dye, put it in the tank, and Esso, what was called then Standard Oil of New Jersey, they were red. So he'd throw some red dye in, and then Sun Oil was blue. He'd throw blue in there, and nobody knew the difference because when you get down to it, it is a commodity. But now, you know, with the different formulations, and they can get fined a lot of money, it's fractured the market. But still, within those markets, there's pretty much no difference between the various gas. You never know which one you're getting in your tank. So, hey, on that note, we will adjourn till next month, Mickey. Hopefully this hurricane in Florida will be a big nothing burger. That's what I'm expecting. They're not telling me to evacuate. And, we'll have to think about it should the time come. But the key in these situations is have a plan, don't panic. It's just the same thing that you should be doing in the market. And you need to be looking seriously at precious metals now. They're definitely on a roll, and they're going to probably continue up for a while. I think then there'll be a pullback. We'll test 1300 again, but who knows? That's just my own personal semi-educated guess, Mickey.
Well, that's all we can do is educated guesses, Gary. So batten down the hatches, get the shutters up, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, Mickey. Oh, by the way, before we forget, find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com, and just give us your Twitter feed, Mickey.
At Mercenary Geo.
All right. How many followers are you up to now?
We're actually down a bit this month. We've been cleaning out the spams and the robots.
Spambots.
We're down to about 62.5 right now. So.
All right. And find us, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for the newsletter, Mickey's too. And while you're at it, check out our Twitter feed, at Carrie Lutz. It's really been perking up, and I haven't done a whole heck of a lot. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Mickey, have a good month ahead, and we'll talk to you in early October.
Thanks a lot, Carrie.